We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Oh my goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young, where we discuss all things regarding renovation with either the FHA 203K, the home style renovation mortgage, or the VA renovation mortgage, or any of six others that you may talk about or want to know more about. While today's show is primarily for consultants, homeowners, lenders, and anyone else involved with the 203K is more than welcome to call in and ask your own questions. You can skew the show in your direction easily. Now, I got to tell you, from time to time, you do have a 203K that drives you batty. But for the most part, 203Ks and other renovation loans go off without a hitch. But time to time, something goes wrong. Something just doesn't happen right. And I've seen realtors back away from the 203K because they've had a tough one. Don't, because 1 out of 100 is going to be a tough one. 1 out of 100 is not a lot. So if you've had that one already, get back in there, get back up on a horse, one that bucked you off, and try it again. Maybe try it with a different team. Although, I don't know, if you've got a good team, stick with them. But you know, there's no reason to change or to stop doing them because of one hardship. And for heaven's sakes, there's never a reason to start with a hardship you heard about from somebody who never did one, who heard about it from somebody else. You know, they had a problem way back in 1975. Well, a lot of changes have happened since 1975. Like in 1994, they hired Ken Crandall at HUD to find out why more people aren't using the FHA 203K and fix it. Whatever it is, fix it. And what Ken found in his research was that most people didn't want to read the 864-page guideline and learn it and understand it and then get into the 203K portion, read those guidelines and learn it and understand it, because it took too long. People aren't looking to do that in those days. Today, kids read a lot, and they might be able to do that, but it's not necessary now because Ken found out what was wrong, and he created consultants in 1994. Anybody that was consulting before 1994? Right. Sure you were. But in any case, 1994 marked the creation of 203K consultants. And that's good. We have now a person who reads the guidelines, supposedly, hopefully, learns the guideline, and moves forward. Now, we have a book that we put out several years ago, and it's really all about the guideline. It's called 203K, the hottest renovation product on the market. But if you would like a free copy, send me your name, address, and phone number, and I will send it to you. Send $6 for packaging and handling, which is not great, and I will send you that book for free. I'd be happy to do it. So, in any case, we're having a lot of fun with this thing. It's renovating a lot of neighborhoods. And lordy, 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 from time to time, again, you're going to have a problem. If you're a homeowner, you're doing your first 203K or your second or third, it doesn't matter. If you're having an issue and it seems like nobody is on your side, you can go to 203K911.com and contact us through our message center there. And we'll be happy to talk with you. And so far, 99% of the people we've helped absolutely free. There's no charge unless you want us to do it for you. If we have to step in and physically do anything, then there'll be a nominal charge. So, in the meantime, you will have somebody to talk to. You can cry your eyes out to us. We'll explain the rules. Most people think that a consultant is your consultant right through the end. And that's not true. The consultant is your consultant only until the loan closes. Once the loan closes, he's not your consultant anymore. She's not your consultant anymore. They are now inspectors working for the lender, not you. They're always working on your behalf to your betterment, but they're there to look at the work as it is completed, to be sure it's done in a professional and workmanlike manner. So if you're having problem, maybe I know one that we had with a consultant would come in and sign the paperwork blank, leave it with the homeowner and a contractor to decide what they wanted. And then they would send it into the lender for payment. And if you're one of those consultants, you're going to be short-lived. That's not the way to do it. I always sign last. I take the paperwork with me. We go out there. The contractor doesn't have a draw request until he fills it out, column 3. Column 1 is what's been allotted for each category. Column 2 on the draw request is what's already been paid out. So on draw 1, column 2 will always be blank. And then column 3 is what he is requesting at this point, or she. One of my favorite contractors is Mel Dion with Cardinal Construction. So when she fills out column 3, usually it's filled out when I get there. Mel's very sharp. If you're looking for a good contractor in the Santa Cruz area, she is exceptional. So what happens is she fills out column 3 with her desires, what she's looking for. And then she signs it. Now it's a valid draw request. Up until then, I don't look at it. I don't look at anything to see if it's done properly. Once it's signed, now it's a valid draw request. And I will go out there then with the homeowner and we'll look at these items. If I'm not happy with the quality of the workmanship, I'll put a line through it in column 3 and write a big 0 in column 4. For that item. We're not going to pay for shoddy work. Now, I shouldn't say that after talking about Mel, because my Mel doesn't participate in shoddy work. I didn't mean that, Mel. If you're listening, I didn't mean to disparage you in any manner. So, anyway, the idea is the request, they can request anything. In many cases, a contractor, especially a new one to the 203K, will request something that he cannot have. There's just no way. It's just not in the cards. There's nothing there. He's looking for an advance, maybe. So he said, well, we're going to get ready to do the roof, so I want money for the shingles. So he fills out a request for shingles. Well, the consultant can only authorize payment for items that are complete. So the roof, the contractor's got to use his own good credit, buy the materials, install the materials, call for a draw, get reimbursed. This entire renovation process is reimbursement. It's a reimbursement program. Doesn't matter which project or product you're using, whether it's the VA renovation, Homestyle, or 203K, they all work off the same thing, and that's reimbursing you for items on that are complete. Now, the nice thing about the draw request, those items can be paid as a percentage of completion. A percentage of completion. So they do not have to be 100% complete to be paid. So if he gets the shingles out there, gets them up on the roof, then it's complete. But if he gets half of them up on the roof, then it's a percentage, and he can get paid 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%. Whatever the percent may be. And that percent is determined by the consultant slash inspector. At that time, he's just an inspector. So don't, if you're looking for someone to hold your hand through the process of the construction, consultant is not that person. OK? Okay, they're your advocate up till it closes, and then they're the lender's arm and eyes and ears out in the field. So hang in there. We'll get you through this thing. If you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss more specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to one of our websites, particularly the 203k911.com. Scroll down to the message center and contact form and send us the information. Give us as much detail as you can. Tell us where the problems lie. So when we get on the phone, we're not asking those kind of questions. It's the best use of our time, and we're going to help you. We're going to spend as much time as it takes with you to help you with your issues. But I would like to know in detail what the issues are, what you think they should be. I know we had one where the client said that the contractor was requesting some payment for items, and it was just very, very poor workmanship. And the consultant just said, just sign it. And they did. And when it came down to the last one, they said, you know what, we can't sign all this stuff. It's just not there. The work is terrible. But they signed all those paper, all the paperwork, all those draw requests. Well, when you sign it, you're saying the work is acceptable. So if it's never acceptable, don't sign it. It's that simple. Do not, just refuse. I had one guy that called me moaning and groaning. He says, well, my contractor hasn't shown up for 2 weeks or 2 months, and you haven't contacted him. And I said, sir, I wasn't aware he hadn't shown up. Well, why not? You should be aware of everything. And I said, no. As an inspector, we're here about every 30 days when you call us and say you're ready for a draw, or when the bank calls us and says we haven't had a draw in 30 days, go out there and see what's going on. Then we go out there, and we're not looking at the contractor's, you know, attendance record. But you should be. The homeowner is the boss. You got to remember that. You hired the lender. You hired the original consultant. Okay, that lender might have given you a list of two or three to choose from, but you did it. You are always the boss. And when we do our consultation, we explain that to our homeowners, that you are the lender. You're the boss, rather, not the lender. You're the boss. You hire and fire everybody at will. Okay, but you're not the babysitter. And it's not up to you. I could not convince this homeowner. They were too dense to understand. And I showed him our agreement. I said, look here. In our agreement, I said, I will fulfill the duties as described below up until the closing of the loan. My job then is finished. At that point, I work for the lender. And and always on your behalf. But when you call me out there, and I look and give you a draw schedule, if it's in poor workmanship, if there is poor workmanship, I'm not going to authorize payment. You, as the homeowner, say, well, this is good enough for me. Well, no, it's not good enough for me. Homeowners typically don't buy a house and remodel it every day. Consultants quite often do it every day. Some of them less often, but some of them more often. Might get two or three a day. But in any case, it's up to us to look out for the well-being of the loan for HUDs and for the lender to be sure that that work is in a professional, workmanlike manner. So I just can't tell you. Let's get into what your problems could be. We're happy to help you. I honestly thought this was going to be a real moneymaker, and I was going to charge a lot of money and get paid a lot for all the help I'm giving people. But most of the help we've been able to take and handle over the phone. So there's been very few charges to the homeowner. It's been a great thing. I know a couple times we were able to get the entire scope of work redone, completely redone by another contractor. But you're going to run into problems from time to time, and you don't look at them as problems. You know, we just got back from Jamaica, where the little tour guide was telling us, in Jamaica, we have no problems. We only have issues, and issues can be dealt with. I like that. I'm not taking it from the Jamaicans, but it sounded like a great attitude to have. There are no problems, just issues, and we can deal with the issues. So we're glad to have you here with us today. Looks like we got a guest coming up right after the break. And if you want to be part of the show, you got questions, you might have questions for the guest caller when we call in. And that's fine. You can call in and ask the guest caller questions, too, if you like. But our call-in number is 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show. We're going to be right back, so stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about some of the major work that we do on some of these 203Ks. Foundations, they're always a problem. I know that, especially if you've got expansive soils and so forth. But some examples of some, most cases that would have gone bad had we merely kept Here are some examples. In most cases, they wouldn't have gone bad if they just had the grading and kept the water away from the foundation and the structure as it was originally graded. But we were doing an FHA inspection with a contractor who was training to become a 203K consultant. Oh, yes, I remember him. He was a great guy, Bill. He was a structural contractor. He had a structural engineering license, so he had specializing in structural repairs on homes for over 30 years when I met him. I saw a teaching opportunity at this one house that we were looking at as consultants, and I'm facing the window and on looking out at the yard, and on both sides of the house down in the corner, let's see, is that right? Was falling away. So anyway, there was a crack. It started in the lower corner at the outside wall and walked up towards the upper corner of the inside wall. And it was on both sides, and it was about equal, which gave me an indication that there was a grading issue out there, and that the house, the part of the house, was falling away from the house and causing this cracking. Well, Bill, I showed him that the width of the crack here, and it was about 3/16 wide, and it got narrow as it came down towards the floor. So anyway, he started blowing and going and telling me, you can't tell that from in here. You can't tell what's going on. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I think is going on. I think we're going to go out and we're going to see a grading issue, a big bad grading issue, somewhere on this side of the house, up and down the length of this house. So he and I stepped outside, and we looked, and there was a gutter approximately 60 feet long. This entire side was about 60 feet long, and the gutter ran all the way down, and there was one downspout, one lousy downspout, and it was right in the middle of our picture window in the dining room that we were in. And you could see where the water had been falling 8 feet to the ground, and it literally dug a hole at the foundation. And he just lost it. He said, I can't believe it. I'm putting my coveralls on and going under here and seeing what I can see. When he finished all of his inspections and came out, he concurred wholeheartedly that I nailed that one. But why would anybody put a downspout in the middle of a picture window? You're not going to bring that downspout in front of that window. And you had 60 feet. You could have put it anywhere along there. You might have put two. one at either end, or one third in on either end, or something. But the key is you got to control the water, or it will control you. So anyway, he said, no way, can't determine that from the crack in a wall. And he found out that we could determine that from a crack in the wall. It blew him away. Wonderful guy. I got a kick out of him because he came to me about, 6 months later. He had just built 4 spec houses in Concord, California. Beautiful homes. I mean beautiful homes. But he says, Mike, they're just not selling. People look at them and they leave and they don't come back. They don't give me any feedback. Would you mind taking a look and seeing what it is that I've done wrong here? I mean, he had 2x6 walls, R50 in the walls. I mean, these things were energy efficient like you wouldn't believe. So what happened was, as soon as I got there, I saw the problem. In the East Coast, such as North Carolina, South Carolina, vinyl siding is very popular. On the West Coast, it's a no-no. It's a taboo. So when I saw that he had these 4 houses all built with vinyl siding, I said, that's your problem. It's not accepted in California for high-end houses, higher-end housing. So he took the siding off of one of those 4 houses, put stucco on it. It sold in 2 days. It sold while they were putting the stucco on it. It didn't have to finish even. And then he took the stucco off the other 3, off the vinyl siding off the other 3, and lo and behold, they all sold immediately as well. But it was sad because he had gone to, the houses were beautiful. I mean, I think he had triple pane windows. These houses were far more efficient than most houses. But anyway. I read about a HUD, I read in a HUD publication years ago, and it's still true today probably, that about 99% of the foundation issues that we find are directly related to poor grading. How many times when inspecting a home do we find the siding all rotted away at the bottom because of a sprinkler system was planted in the lawn with the head aimed at the flower bed towards the house, and that water washes up on the wood siding, and it just decays it. You know, if you're going to be putting the sprinkler system in, put it up close to the house and let it spew water away from the house, not at the siding. What do they say? Water is the ultimate, what do they call that? Water will find its way through anything eventually. It'll find its way through concrete. It'll find its way through wood anywhere. If it's continually being sprayed on it, it'll find a way through it. It'll decay it. And a lot of that T111 siding never was meant to hold water. And so many times it's installed improperly where they drive the nails down. They're supposed to bring those heads right to the siding, but quite often they'll drive them in and putty them over so you don't see the nail heads. Well, once you do that and that putty falls out, or that caulking falls out and water gets in there, you've just made a place for the water to get behind the outside shell, and therefore it'll rot out really fast. So drip irrigation systems are great for small areas of water, but grading issues, you can almost bet that every house you look at is going to have some kind of grading issue. Correct it. It's important. Subsidence. You know, I had a house in Walnut Creek years ago that the owners were having a great deal of time getting financed. They just couldn't get it financed. The lender called me and said they had issues. They owned the house. A lender had already taken it back and didn't want it. But the lender told me they were having issues with subsidence and asked me to take a look at it and see if we could do anything with the 203K. That we were originally sent out there as an appraiser. And when I saw the problem, I knew right away this thing needed a renovation loan. But I saw 12-inch by 6-inch I-beams driven into the ground all around the corner of the site to keep the house from falling into the street. And that had done its job. They must have been 20 feet long, easy. But they got down below the issue. So, but the other parts of the yard were still subsiding, well away from the house, so we didn't have an issue over there, but you did, because it was a visual issue. People see that land look, you know, almost looked liquefied. It's rolling towards the street on the back half. So all we had to do is take those the same correction and take it all the way to the far end of the yard and contain that liquefaction. Let's see, this is where the soil gets so wet, it actually starts moving like molten lava flowing towards the street. It was far enough from the home not to be a threat to the home, but you could see why they were having issues getting a loan. So we documented this one very carefully, had an engineer write up something about the liquefaction on the other end of the site and how it didn't affect the house, and they were able to get the loan. So not an issue. So, let's see. Settlement cracks in older homes. You know what? I had a house, you know, it was 160 years old, something like that, in Crockett, California, years ago. It had six telephone poles, effectively, that were the foundation. The stringers were strung between those six telephone poles. There wasn't a crack anywhere in the house. The house was 150 years old. It had gone through the San Francisco earthquake. Most people moved from San Francisco to Crockett so that we didn't have a big issue at Crockett itself. But there wasn't a crack in the house. But you get settlement cracks, and they're typical in older homes. But what I also find in older homes is the glass liquefaction. You get a 150-year-old house, and the windows then were not made like they are today, and the glass is actually thicker at the bottom because it's trying to pool. The glass may even be so thin at the top that it's non-existent in parts. So you have to look over those windows very carefully. Might even think about turning them upside down so that it can start flowing for the next 150 years downward. But cracks, I found over the years, that cracks run in straight lines along the edges of boards or at door frames typically are inferior workmanship during the original construction in many cases. Just the lack of enough nailing or proper nailing. I know to this day when a building inspector is going out to inspect the nailing on drywall, if they're 3/4 finished or 7/8 finished with the job, and he signs off, even though they still have the rest of the day to nail, contractor's going to pull them off the job, put them on something else, and we'll tape and texture over the top of that lack of nails. And that happens sometimes. More often than not, contractors don't want to put any money if it's already been signed off. Why should we waste any more labor there? But some of those things, you know, if you see straight line cracks, typically that tells you a 4x8 sheet of plywood or 4x10 sheet of plywood is sitting there, and they just didn't nail it properly, and that crack's running down the length of it. So to fix that, re-nail the darn thing and tape and texture it again. Quite often that'll cure the problem. Sometimes these cracks go off at different angles. That is more like settlement, things that you need to worry about. Foundations moving and causing those kind of cracks. So, anyway, I see that we're coming up against a break. Let's see. Come on, Michael. Here we go. So if you want to be part of the show today, and we encourage you to do that, call us at 888-627-6008. For now, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Natasha Robinson of Guaranteed Rate Mortgage.
How are you, Mike? How are you?
Oh, I hope you're better on their end. I hear you a lot of static in your voice.
Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know. You're doing good, but you're, I guess Doug will straighten it out. Maybe it's okay on his end. So, well, doggone it, Nakasha, after our last visit, I understand you got quite a few leads, so that's a good thing.
I did. That was amazing.
For the audience that doesn't know who Natasha is, last year in 2018, she was won an award for being in the top 1% of mortgage originators, and that's a big deal. And I'm proud that she's chosen us to do business with over the years, and we appreciate it. But what can you tell us about that?
Well, we do a lot of volume, and I specialize in renovation loans, which is kind of why we're here on your show. Although we do all types of lending, we focus today on the renovation loans.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and I have a pretty big team, so we have a streamlined process to make these loans go pretty quickly, as, you know, most people think they take forever, and they're the most difficult loans ever, but we put a system into place that makes them move pretty smoothly.
I understand. I think you were telling me that 30 days, 35 days is pretty common.
Yes, so 30 days after you give me a contractor bid, and we try to push to get those bids within, you know, the first 7 business days. That's our worst-case scenario, but, of course, we try to push to close all loans as soon as possible.
Yeah, most of the consultants I know and work with can put together their bid specs pretty fast. And I don't know, but a lot of lenders don't realize they can actually close the loan with our numbers. But we like to save our butt. We like to see a contractor's bid come in and validate our numbers. But
yes, that's the secret sauce, Mike. We get the party started with your numbers, right? But then, you know, we get everything else by the time it's closing time.
Yeah. Well, I get one of the questions that we get a lot from the borrowers is, can they do their own work? They want to work on their own house. How do you answer them when they want to work on their own house as their own GC?
We get this question all the time, Mike. So on the FHA 203K, we do allow it, but they have to be a licensed general contractor. And then we have to basically get their trades signed up. So if they're going to be the GC, that's great, but they still have to have a licensed electrician and a licensed plumber. But they also have to be a licensed general contractor in order for us to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the same with most lenders. Some won't touch it at all. But is there a season for renovation loans?
Actually, no. I'm equally busy all year round. I would say there's a season for contractors. You tend to be more busy in the warmer months, so it's harder to get those contractor bids, which is why we want you to build those relationships, and because that is the hardest part of a renovation loan, is finding that contractor, which you do have to do that on your own. But no, I think that it's pretty consistent. As long as you can find a contractor, they move just as quickly all year round.
You know, I've found my best contractors as far as getting loans are the ones that do all the trades within their own organization.
Yes.
So they don't have to go out and get bids for everything. I know the Hartmans, the guy works with his sons. His wife is the secretary in the office, but his sons, one is an electrician, one is a plumber. And together, they just work through everything. And they can do it. They can put a bid together faster than anybody I've seen. But
that's pretty amazing.
Well, Natasha,
they should be busy once people find them.
I have no trouble keeping them busy. But what would your best consultant provide you on a consultation request? Whereas, what are you looking at from the consultant in order to get your job done faster?
I'm looking for that consultant to break that bid down by labor and materials But to be a little detailed, don't leave room for error. You know, if we're going to use 3/4 drywall, say 3/4 drywall. If we're going to use these bolts and these brackets, you know, so that way the client is getting what he anticipates and we don't have to keep on revising and changing over the bid. And also, I think the consultants, if they had a list of contractors that they work with that are great, that they can share with the borrower, that just kind of helps them put, you know, some contractors in their pocket to help them get the bids going.
Yeah. I know that when we put contractor bids together, we try to put our scope of work so detailed that there's no room for error. You know exactly what I'm wanting. I've had so many contractors say, well, when can you and I walk this job? And I said, well, get the specification repairs and walk the job. And if you have questions, call me. Because I don't want to go out and make another trip out there that I don't get paid for, frankly.
Right. And then sometimes the contractors are slick. They want to see the consultant's final numbers. But we only share the blank one, the BOR. And that's just the bid with no numbers. Because we want the contractors to go out and bid the job with their own experience and their own, you know, numbers, not just kind of going on what you said.
Yeah, I don't like it when people have their own bid already in advance and try to hand it to me. So you should be able to write this overnight. I want to bid that job cold. We had one recently where it wasn't one of yours, but another lender had called me out and said, we've already got the people approved for $168,000. The contractor's bid is here. Well, I use the contractor's bid more for the scope of work. And I pretty
right.
much copied
so you can kind of see where they're going.
His scope of work. Then I visited the property and found out that this contractor failed to do anything with the existing house. He was taking off an illegal unit addition in the back, and but he wasn't addressing any of the cracked tile, and the tile in the kitchen and the dining room and the bathrooms was so bad that I couldn't leave it alone. I had to fix it. But with all those additional fixings, my bid came in at right about $100,000. And I was being generous, thinking maybe these guys are charging more. Well, when we got the final contractor's bid, he was at $110,000, including 20% contingency.
Wow.
And the homeowner was blown away. She said, I had no idea this guy was going to rip me off. And we find that quite often in the Hispanic community. The Hispanic family says, let's go get a contractor and let's make sure he speaks Spanish. And they get, I've seen that so often that it makes me wonder, because they get a high bid and they think it's good because they've got some camaraderie there, and it's not always. So take the best advantage of a consultant. The homeowner should get the consultant out there first. Let us put the scope of work together. Let us put everything in it that we think needs to be done, and then put it out to bid with no numbers, like you said, and let the contractor.
Yes.
So we're bidding the same thing. And when his numbers
yes.
come in, they're in the right order. And we just plug them in and look at them and compare them very easily. But quite often when a contractor puts his own bid together before us, there's no rhyme or reason for the way he puts the list together. Okay? I mean, it may be a valid rhyme or reason to him, but it doesn't fit the HUD guideline. And we have, you know, they do it room by room in some cases. So I've got drywall, electric, tile, all that stuff in one for the bathroom. And I've
right.
got to break it out into the categories. So it's quite often better for everybody and faster if you let the consultant put the scope together and then send it out with no prices so the numbers come in on his paperwork.
That's why we depend on you, Mike.
Thank you. And we appreciate that, believe me. I got a question for you. Every contractor wants to know how they're going to get paid. Some of the lenders that are out there putting these together are very small, and they always let some other lender fund it, and some other lender controls the draws. How do you guys get the contractor paid and do the draw payments?
So we do the total opposite. We have our own draw department internally, so we're holding on to that loan throughout the whole process. We do sometimes fill the loans off the line once you're closed out. But guarantee rate, we do have our own draw department. We use third-party companies sometimes, too. But we're basically managing the draws, making sure the contractors get paid. And then, once again, once you guys finish and close out, then your loan goes from our department to the regular department as if you're no longer in a renovation loan.
You know, when contractors look at doing a 203K, you guys need to learn, as contractors, to find a lender that controls the draws. Just like Guarantee
Rate. Or just
rate.
Call Guarantee Rate. We do 50 states. We can take care of you.
What's your phone number?
312-792-9295.
Oh, gosh. So let's see. Let me see what else. I had some notes here I wanted to be sure and ask. Can you describe the process, start to finish, on what transpires on a home renovation loan from the application to the closing table?
Awesome. So first off, we take that application and we actually pre-underwrite your file. We want to make sure that once you go under contract, you can actually get closed on that loan and you're not wasting any time with that consultant or any money, you know. So once we get you pre-approved, we'll issue the pre-approval. Then you go under contract after you find that property. And then once you go under contract, we will schedule the consultant. A home inspection is not required if you desire to have one or if your state requires you to have one. You know, we're more than welcome for you to do that. But we do have to have the consultant. If you're spending, you know, more than $29,300 on a streamline, and that's the contractor bid, or if you're doing any structural repairs, we can do one-on-one consultations of when a consultant is required because they can change based on your loan type. And then once you pretty much have that consultant out there, we'll go ahead and get that file submitted or your appraisal, and then we'll be waiting on the appraisal, the approval, but most important, you to finalize those contractor bids. So then we're getting all of our final documents in at the same time, and we're able to send that file back up to what we call a clear to close, and we also in our industry call that a CTC. That means you're clear and you're ready to close.
What's a CCC?
CTC, clear to close.
Okay.
Everybody wants a CTC.
CTC. Now you're talking about our that song that Aretha Franklin had, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
That's right.
Hey, what do you think is the hardest part of getting a renovation loan?
The hardest part is finding that contractor, Mike. That is the hardest part, and having a reality of how much renovation costs. Some people think they're going to do an entire basement for $8,000, and I'm in the Chicago area, and that is just not happening. You know, you're in that $20,000 to $35,000 range, depending on what you're doing to that basement. But just kind of getting a grip on how much things cost and finding the contractor is the biggest, hardest part of a renovation loan. Once you master that, I can do the loan in my sleep.
You know, that's a mouthful, really. I had a contractor. He must have done 10 or 12 203Ks with me. And one day, the homeowner, he was going great guns on a second-story addition, and he told the homeowner, if you'll pay me the draw money, I'll keep working on this thing, and then when the draw check comes in, you can have it. Well, the homeowner fell for that, handed him a check, and it was the first time ever the lender cut the check, $13,000, directly to the contractor and sent it to him. And I have yet, that's been about 10 years ago, and that contractor hasn't shown up at all. I don't know where he went, but he felt he had $26,000 in cash, and he left. He just disappeared.
And let me tell you, Mike, I'm glad you brought that up. The way we work at Guarantee Rate is that the check is cut to the contractor and the buyer. So that way, the buyer, borrower, they have to sign that off and give it to the contractor. They have to sign that check because they can have even switched contractors. And we may not have known that that transpired. So sometimes the contractors will ask you to sign this form and, you know, read everything they give you, right? And that form will basically say that they don't want your signature on a check. You want to make sure that you are responsible for signing that check and handing it over to your contractor because you are responsible if your job ends up short or if you end up double paying someone. So that is, I'm so glad you brought that up because that does happen in the industry, but it doesn't happen with Guarantee Rate because we do cut our checks to the client and they have to sign it over to the contractor.
No, that's the way it should be, and that's the way the guideline states. I was shocked when I found out that they paid him directly. And a homeowner, I told him, a homeowner, I'll keep my eyes open for him, but I don't know where he is. I drove by his house. Nobody was there anymore for rent sign out in front of it. So,
and if the loan says that the contractor has to start with his own money and you don't give your money, then you do not give your money. You have to follow provisions of the way your loan is structured. That's how we protect the client. It's so very important.
Absolutely. Hey, what type of credit score is needed? I know that FHA has the least or the most lenient credit scores, but how do you typically, what credit score is needed to qualify?
So our minimum credit score is 580 for FHA, 620 for the home style renovation, and for the VA renovation loan, which we have now. But if you do have that 580, your rate isn't as nice as the 620. So we will get you pre-approved, but then I have some internal free options where we can look to see if there's a way to boost that score up while you're looking. To answer your question, we can go as low as 580.
Wow. Okay, so that may be something needed for somebody who's been on a little hard times maybe and just getting back into the home buying mode might help them get into a house. But with a 620, they'd have a better rate. So
better
that's
interest
how that's
rate.
Gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our interest rates, you know, have been pretty low. Like with the 720 credit score, we've been at 4.375 for that FHA 203K and that home style renovation. So that's been pretty amazing.
Now, do you recommend, because 203Ks, FHA has to have that PMI mandatory?
Yes, they will have it. If they don't put 10% down, they will have it for the life of the loan.
So if they do finish the renovation, do you help them find another loan to get them out of that PMI?
Yes. So we will, most of my clients will have gained equity because they've completed a renovation. So they're going to get that equity, and then we will try to refinance you. But I am a conventional girl, even though I offer FHA 203K. So if you qualify for a conventional loan, then we'll show you both options side by side so you can choose from the beginning if you want to go conventional or FHA. But once you're done with your project, we do work to refinance you to a lower interest rate as well as, a better loan term.
Well, that's one of the reasons you're in the top 1% is because you lay it out and show them the options. A lot of people just shove something down their throat, and it might do what they want, but it doesn't give them options. And I think
people how I want people to be treating me, and I pretty much work off of referrals because I do that.
Yeah.
So it's not about closing a deal. It's about closing the right deal in the right program, and
there
that's how we keep our clients coming back.
I got a good one for you. What do you find is the most common renovation? What are people fixing up mostly? Is there one thing that stands out?
I mean, I think that it's a lot of just older homes that were well kept. You get a lot of people just kind of doing new kitchens and new bathrooms. You see that all the time. But lately I've been getting a lot of people that's in trouble with the city. They have liens for building violations for these back porches that were built 20, 30 years ago that are kind of falling apart. So we've been able to come in and help them rebuild back porch and for safety reasons for their properties as well. But the biggest thing, in my opinion, is new kitchens and new bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, that puts your biggest return on your money, too, doesn't it? On your
investment. Yes, and those finished basements. Mm-hmm.
How about the, every loan has every renovation loan has a contingency reserve. How strict is your company with the use of that contingency?
Well, like I told you before earlier, Mike, we want that consultant to break that bid down by labor and materials and be very specific, because then we can use the contingency for unforeseen things. If I open a wall and find a $5,000 problem, that is what I want to use my contingency for, not just a general contractor mistake. But for FHA 203K, we require 15%. In the contingency, that's 15% of your contractor bid. So if you're going to spend $100,000, then your contingency on the FHA 203K is going to be $15,000, and that's $100,000 your contractor bid. If you do the home style renovation, we hold a 10% contingency, so then it would only be $10,000. So our contingency is based on program, and it'll be 15% or 10%.
Very good. I had one contractor early in the game when I first got into this back in 94, 95. The guy was a consultant as well, but he spent about half of his business building these houses, fixing them up. And I happened to be the consultant on one that he was the contractor. And we went in to do a final draw, and he said, I need the contingency money, all of it, because we upgraded the kitchen cabinets. And I looked, and I said, can you, what are these called? What brand are they on? And he showed me where the little sticker was on the cabinets. He had stuck it inside a cabinet on the wall. And then I read the specification. I said, this is exactly what we specified. Oh, well, in that case, he said, let's get the contingency for, and he started naming other things. I said,
just want that contingency.
Yeah, that contingency is not the contractor's money. It's homeowner's money. And we have to treat that with respect. Yeah.
Yes, our goal is to give them that money back on that refi, to reduce their principal balance and let them benefit from that $15,000 because they had a successful project and they did not go over budget. But in renovation, you do sometimes get in that store, and that's kind of why we break everything down by labor and materials, because if your materials for your cabinets was $4,000 and you wanted to spend $8,000, then you can see what you're using your contingency for.
Yeah. I know I have some contractors that will not use the contingency. No, that's my bid. That's what I'll stand by. And sometimes they take it a little bit in the shorts. They don't, they make them find something, but they don't. I know two of them that just flat won't use that contingency. That's not our money. I bid this job at X number of dollars, and I'm going to do it for that number. And if it means my profit's going to wane a little bit, then so be it. We had one that was so dramatic. They ended up taking all the siding off the house. And when they did, it exposed, as they took it off, they exposed dry rot in the 2x4s that were supporting the house, the studs. So they would replace one. And then they took a little more siding, more rot. They replaced that one. They ended up getting all the siding off and having to replace every stud in the house. So the building inspector came around, and he said, what's this? I didn't authorize this. And they said, well, we kept finding dry rot. We had to fix it. He says, good. Now I want blueprints. I want a new plumbing and new electrical. New plumbing and new electrical was $20,000.
Wow.
And this contractor would not take any extra money. He would not use their contingency at all. And he laughed at me and he says, Mike, if I take this job and two other jobs I got going for you in the same neighborhood, I still made money. If I look at them as one job, I made money. Don't worry about it.
No, that's a good contractor, Mike.
It is. He turned out to be my best friend over the years and passed away about 5 years ago. And one of the guys that worked for him has taken his place.
Mm.
Anyway, hey, one of the things that I get a big kick out of whenever I do a renovation project is the sense of gratification and satisfaction when we complete the work. Don't you get that too?
Yes, yes, because, you know, with every renovation, there's different types of things that come up, and it's and most of our clients are not contractors or GCs or, you know, interior decorators. They're just regular buyers who want their dream home. So it's, you know, I'm really passionate about that, and it feels good when they're excited and they're happy and they have a successful project.
Yes, I love it. Oh, let's see what we got here. That's my biggest thing. I literally came to tears with one lady because the house came out looking so much better than she had pictured in her mind. And she was in tears and brought me to tears. I told her, stop that. Anyway, but I just had a homeowner contact us who had been working on their 203K loan for 5 weeks and still hasn't seen the work write-up for the project. What would you say is the average completion time to get your work right up in your hand?
I mean, in Chicago, we're getting ours back in 3 to 5, you know, within 72 hours because I do a lot of volume. in that particular city. But I've been working in Pennsylvania and New York and Jersey, Massachusetts, and I feel like worst case scenario, 7 business days, but I'd like to see it in 5. So I call them to kind of see what can we do to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, doggone it. Did you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, just, I mean, if you are interested in a renovation, if you have building violations, we like mold, we like asbestos, you know, any code violations. If you are in demo court, do not lose your property. You can utilize the renovation loan to get yourself out of trouble and help you maximize on any rent opportunities, the other opportunities available for you. If you want to build an addition, if you want to go out, you have a lot of options with the renovation loan, and I'm here to assist you if you need me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think the loan is, when I first saw it back in 1994, I fell in love with it. In fact, I was a real estate appraiser, a HUD FHA appraiser, and when I saw that, I knew I wanted to be a consultant immediately. It was, I think what we do is honorable. I think it's necessary. You know, I did that one bid for $159,000. I did it in 4 days. The lady had a contractor. She said, don't even put it out to bid. Her contractor took the blank sheets and bid it in 4.5 weeks. And that's where you lose a lot of time, is when the contractor has the bid. So
exactly.
I came in at 159. He came in at 298. And the difference was astonishing. So I told the lady, she asked me, do you even know what you're doing? And I said, well, yeah, let's find out by getting another contractor. Her first comment was, well, why don't you find another one? I said, no. At this point, I want you to find another one. I don't care if you look at the phone book, call a friend, or whatever, but I want you to pick another contractor. And she did, and her contractor came in about 2 weeks, and the second one, and bid a $161, $2,000 higher than my bid. And at that point, she came to the realization that my guy was going to rip me off.
Right.
And I said, you know, you picked the busiest contractor in the neighborhood. You kept Googling his work and telling him how good it was. And all he was saying is, I can charge her more. I can charge her more. I can charge her more. And, you know, it was, that's kind of the thing we do. We protect the client and give them the biggest bang for their buck in many cases.
Exactly.
You know, when I look at Fairfax, California, high rent, I mean, people in Fairfax are probably making $1 million a year or more income. And you can buy a house there for $130,000 that's a fixer and put some, you know, put $150,000 into it and end up with $1 million property.
Yeah, you could do that through renovation.
Yeah, there's still deals to be made out there. But.
Yes, and keep in mind, everyone, that this is a seller's market. So there's not enough room for these flippers to come in and buy the property and make a profit all the time. So with that being said, you can come in and get a deal on it and then just make it how you want it. So that way you don't have to make a profit right away because you have your dream home.
Yes. Well, I see that Doug is waving at me from the other room.
Well, always a pleasure, Mike.
My time is up. But, yeah, keep them coming in. We'll keep them coming to you. I was surprised at how many, how well you were received on the last time you were here, and I can't help but have you back. So I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. You have an amazing day. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Okay. Doug, yeah, I'm with you. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. We'll see you next Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. My grandson will be here with me. He's 15 years old and 6'6". As always, this podcast is coming to you, our broadcast is coming to you from our Las Vegas, Nevada offices. Look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.